It's a podcast.
That's where a podcast is an audio recording where we shout over each other.
That's right.
And shout out to all the Corey Heads and Kittens out there.
It's a podcast.
It sure is.
See what I'm trying to do there, Brad? Just trying to override what's being said.
Well, what's being said now is, hi, everybody. This is the SciTalks podcast. We talk about films here on the official podcast of the Sidewalk Film Festival. I'm Corey Kraft.
Yeah, it's film festival and cinema. I think both, right? It's the official podcast of Sidewalk,
period. One or the other.
Today we picked the cinema.
Okay.
We're going to talk about movies and other things.
But all right,
mostly, we try to mostly talk about cinema. Here we go.
Let's do it.
It's time for mail call.
I don't know how to do it.
No, you nailed
it. What do you think? How do you think it should go? Mail call.
Yes, definitely that. That sounds specifically. Nothing is more appealing.
It's kind of half chicken. Okay, so here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
We checked podcast at sidewalkfest.com. We have checked it. I figured out what the password was. We've broken into the safe, and we found emails with a little bit of dust on them. So we are committing today. We are committing to you today, listeners, that we are going to regularly check our email. We are going to take your emails and we are going to bring them here, inappropriate or appropriate. Either way, we are going to discuss them on air, on mic. Right, Corey?
Yes.
That's our commitment.
That is our commitment.
Again, podcast. If you can listen to it, you can spell it. Podcast at sidewalkfest.com.
So I'm going to jump in with an email that we got from listener Brett Pippin.
Oh, hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Sorry for this dusty old email that we're dealing with now.
But we have dust here. This is from August 2023, and it is in response to a segment we did on podcast episode 368.
Go listen to 368. Don't do it right the second, but do go back and listen
to this. No, stop this. Go back and listen to that this second.
Let them hear the email.
Okay, here's the email. I'm off to a good start. Dear Rachel and Corey.
That's us.
After listening to SciTalks podcast episode 368, I was compelled to write in on behalf of most straight white dudes and bros.
Brett, you are taking the reins on that.
Yes. I'm a proud member of the, quote, ding dongs, end quote. Thanks, Brett. And I agree with Corey about 98% of the time.
Brett.
High percentage, if you'll note that.
Brett, boo.
98%. That is wild. From 100.
Wow.
But this is an email spoiler alert about one of those 2% indications. But he really shit the bed on the homework assignment Rachel gave him. Not the first time that's happened and won't be the last. He was asked to represent all straight white dudes and bros and to create a top 10 movie list of straight white dudes and bros movies. Awesome.
And you shit the bed, Corey. Like many straight white bros, you shit the bed.
Then he said this. I'm going to do an imitation of myself. All right. I approached this from a deeper perspective.
Which is Lord. Not what you... Brett's right. That is not what you were asked to do.
Then he said something about elevating the discourse. Oh, God. Now I'm really worried. I said to myself, Corey is overthinking this.
Yep.
Again, not the first time, won't be the last. And sure enough, he starts his list with Scorsese's film After Hours. I'll stand by that choice. Then Eyes Wide Shut. Okay, that's debatable. Then Lost Highway. I'm starting to see where the problem's coming in. Then he tops the list off with, God help me, Wild Strawberries,
right.
The Ingmar Bergman right. film.
Brett, you're 100% right. This was the most bizarre
it was great.
Response to the question.
When straight white dudes get together, watch sports, and drink beer, and movies come up, we ain't talking about layers of a film, or subtext, or homoerotic undertones, or toxic masculinity. Speak for yourself, Brett. No, we are quoting our favorite straight white guy bro films of all time. They are the films that every straight white guy of a certain age has seen multiple times and can quote without even thinking. Want to know what movie never gets mentioned? You guessed it. Freaking Wild Strawberries. For God's sake. This is all written in the email, folks, by the way. This is how people talk to me.
He's being kind, I think.
I sat down and created Brett Pippin's top 10 straight white guys / dudes / bros movies.
Let's hear
which
it.
Which I think is closer to what Rachel was looking for. This list is in no particular order. All right, we're going to read through this whole damn list.
Let's do it. Thank you, Lethal Brett, for clearing this weapon. Up. Lethal Weapon.
The best buddy cop movie of all time, Mel Gibson with his glorious mulleted mane, and Danny Glover as the uptight partner. I like Lethal Weapon.
He also, I will say, this is not to your point at all, Brett, but there is a scene where that landed him in the role in Hamlet, I believe, because he has a moment where he's considering suicide, and it's pretty intense.
Yeah, and Franco Zeffirelli was like, that is my Hamlet.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something. Sorry.
It was apparently the reference that was used in casting him. Anyway, go ahead. Let's hear Brett's list.
Die Hard. Heard of it. Need I say more? What self-respecting straight male hasn't said, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
People do love that line. I really have said
that line myself. I love Die Hard. Speaking of John McTiernan movies, next on Brett's list, Predator. There is so much testosterone in this film, you can smell it. Schwarzenegger, Weathers, Ventura, plus yet another fantastic straight white male quote, get to the choppa. I have to say that that's not exclusively the territory of straight white men, because anybody can get to the chopper, but I understand the point. All right. First Blood. Stallone goes nuts and cripples an entire damn town. Plus, every straight white male lives for the Richard Crenna scene. You don't seem to want to accept the fact you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare, with a man who's the best, with guns, with knives, with his bare hands, a man who's been trained to ignore pain, ignore weather, to live off the land, to eat things that would make a billy goat puke.
Wow.
That's the end of that quote. I guess that's a Richard Crenna quote from First Blood. I have seen First Blood. I've only seen it once.
You don't remember that quote,
though. I don't remember that quote. I remember that scene.
We appreciate that quote, though.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's a good quote. The Rambo movies, I don't know. All right. The Big Lebowski, The Dude Abides, enough said.
You know what? That's a good point.
Yeah, but like everybody knows about The Big Lebowski. What is to be gained by me sitting on this podcast
I hear you, but it...
Have you heard of The Big Lebowski, The Dude Abides, everybody?
That wasn't the assignment, though. The assignment was to, what is that list, right?
So Brett is... Brett took creative license with the assignment, and I regret nothing.
You got a D minus.
No. I followed the spirit of the assignment. Caddyshack, the greatest golf film of all time, and any straight white male worth his salt knows practically every line from this film. Well, Brett, I got some bad news for you, but maybe I'm not worth my salt. I agree
with Brett, and I will tell you, I'm going to make him angry when I say this. I agree that it should be on this list. I agree that that's a good sighting, but I think Caddyshack is tedious.
Caddyshack's good. I think it's tedious.
I don't ever want to see it again. Sorry, straight white man.
Got the little puppet. I like that puppet.
Oh, that's annoying. Yeah, that's annoying. Okay. Go ahead. Keep moving.
Enter the Dragon. If your straight white male dude / bro list doesn't include a Bruce Lee film, then it should be reexamined closely. Here is where I admit to something that I probably should not admit to on microphone.
Uh-oh.
I have never seen a Bruce Lee movie.
Wow.
I really ought to do that. He only made like four or five of them, right? So like, no excuse. And I own them. Criterion box set.
That is surprising to me. You know what? That's really surprising to me.
Well, I bought them because I knew one day.
No. I'm not surprised that you acquired them. I'm surprised that you haven't watched one, Corey.
Yeah, one of these days. The Iron Giant. I do love this movie. One of the few films.
Didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. That any straight white male bro / dude will actually admit that he shed a tear. Fair enough. Superman. We all know what that's a reference to, right, folks? Iron Giant. Sudeikis knew this, which is why this film is part of a great scene in Ted Lasso. I remember that scene. It is funny. All right, next up, Tombstone, a key film in the straight white male dude.
That has my man Emilio in it, right?
Film canon, no. It has Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell.
I'm thinking of Young Guns.
Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday.
I'm thinking of Young Guns.
There are a lot of great quotes in this film, but the one that every single bro in the world knows is, "I'm your Huckleberry," which is, of course, what Doc Holliday says. Val Kilmer. Great line. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's not a favorite of mine. I think it's my dad's favorite movie of all time. And then finally, and I have to strenuously...
It's a dad movie alert.
Yeah, totally dad movie. I have to strenuously disagree with this 10th and final choice, Zack Snyder's 300.
I agree with Brett.
You have a low opinion of straight white men, so of course you agree with Brett.
I agree with Brett.
But like, come on, let's elevate the discourse, folks.
Let's not.
That's
not the point.
Ask a bro then. This is not my territory. If I'm going Wild Strawberries over 300, I don't know what to tell you other than
I'm not like
other girls, okay? I'm not like other girls.
I actually like 300.
Why on earth do you fucking like 300?
Let's argue about that later.
Yes.
Because I thought that was fun. Sure. I had a good time at the movies.
I saw that. 300. This is what Brett wrote. A nod to Gerard Butler, who is horrific in The Ugly Truth. Yes, he is. As you and Corey noted on What's This Shit? This is the film that bros will gather around to watch from start to finish. I don't know, Brett. I mean, for goodness sake, Lena Headey is in it. She sure is. She's a very attractive woman. And any bro worth his salt... Again, I'm not worth my salt, would watch her read the damn phone book. Well, I've got 8 seasons of Game of Thrones that I can watch instead of 300, Brett. So that's what I'm going to go with.
I agree with you.
Why?
You want to talk about
homophobic.
I like 300.
Okay.
And I also like watching women read phone books.
Well, Lena Headey for sure. Anyway, honorable mentions, The Equalizer, all right? The Wild Bunch, for sure. The Magnificent Seven, just saw that for the first time recently, rules. Seven Samurai, of course. Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes, bitch.
Well, we knew you would say that. That's one of your movies.
He's found it down, loaded up and trucking. I hate when you got to get all that beer across the damn country.
I know, right? What a problem. Scarface, I assume that's De Palma's Scarface and not the 1932.
And that is a bro film from hell.
Sure, I don't like... I think Scarface is fine. I'm not a big fan of it.
I like Scarface, but it is a bro film from hell. But speaking of Brett, did Brett mention Two Little Words? Michelle Pfeiffer?
No.
Okay, well then
these are just honorable
mentions. You're fired.
But she is in it. Animal House... Any Rocky movie after the first one. What's wrong with the first one, Brett?
I like the first one.
Everybody likes the first one. It's great. I like the first one. Sequels.
Man, Brett's really listing some fucking movies.
Yeah. Old School, The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes.
Fletch and Wedding Crashers. Forgive me, because I thought the assignment was to name the top 10 good straight white men
movies. Some of those films that were just listed, I think, are funny and good. I don't know what to tell
Which
you.
Which ones?
List them again.
Old School, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Fletch, and Wedding Crashers.
I like Fletch. I actually like Fletch.
I've never seen
Fletch. I love Chevy Chase.
I have Fletch degrees of fondness for Old School, 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Wedding Crashers.
But I don't remember Wedding Crashers.
I would be shocked, genuinely shocked, if you genuinely like any of those.
I'm going to go watch again.
Okay.
I saw a scene the other day. You know how you see these like they meme level on Instagram or something? I saw like a scene from... This is 40, and it was the scene where Melissa McCarthy is just
the one good scene in the
movie.
She's
riffing about kicking them with her foot or whatever. That scene is so I like that film just based on that scene.
The rest of the film is interminable.
I don't care because Melissa McCarthy is so damn funny in that scene.
YouTube is for you can just watch the scene instead of watching the 9-hour long.
It's not
cut
9 hours.
This is 40. It's so long.
Do you like it?
No.
I'm gonna watch it again. I think I like it. I think I might like it.
I'm not going to rewatch it again. And my whole argument is going to be like, I don't remember a thing about that movie. The Melissa McCarthy scene's the one good scene.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
It's a good scene. But like, what are we talking about?
Mail call.
Well, from Brett.
This is
to close things
this
out.
Is mail call, M-A-L-E call.
That's right. Keep up the good work. Love me some side talks. Don't worry, Corey. I'm still a proud ding dong. Signed, Brett Pippen. Well, thank you, Brett.
Fail.
And thank you to all of our listeners who write into the mailbag podcast at sidewalkfest.com. We want to hear from you, especially if you are apparently just dragging the hell out of me. I mean, that's
I like
fine.
That part. Yeah.
Yeah. So
no more Corey fan there. Mail. I need some fan mail. Send me some fan mail or don't send us any mail. No, I'm just kidding. We want to hear from you regardless.
All right.
Podcast at sidewalkfest.com. We're going to read them. So now it's time for a segment of the podcast called Phone a Friend, where we do just that. Phone a friend.
Hello?
Brocephus, it's Rachel and Corey.
Hey.
Hi, y'all.
What is going on? What? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute.
We've had a lot of false starts, and you know, but here we are all together again. Well, kind of.
Totally.
You're in our headphones. What is going on? What have you been watching? What are you bringing us today?
Okay. Well, I have actually recently watched a film from the last half decade, if you can believe that.
Oh my God!
Excellent.
I know.
Modern. up to the current date. Let's go.
Okay, well, 2019, so that's as current as I've gotten, apparently, but...
Fine by me.
Finally, because apparently, you know, it takes me 5 years to see a quote-unquote modern classic or whatever, we watched Uncut Gems.
Hey!
Oh! Yay!
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, which I was calling it that ever since, you know, back in the day when Julia Fox says it like that, when she said she was a muse and all of that. But I had never seen it, so I was always on the Uncut Gems train, even if I didn't, you know.
Julia Fox. I picked up her bio in the Barnes and Scrotum and was flipping through it and landed on, like, every just random page I landed on was bonkers. Fucking bonkers. So maybe we need to read this book. Maybe we need to start a book club based on this Julia Fox book.
We definitely should, because I was always kind of knew who she was in the sort of pop culture-y way ever since this did come out. But now that I've seen it, I really have like dug deeper on her whole thing and like her whole deal with Kanye and all of the things. And I was just like, before this phone call, I was like, what's going on with Julia like now? So I just looked, and at like 2 weeks ago or earlier this month for New York Fashion Week, she bleached her eyebrows. So that's going on.
As one does.
Oh, you gotta love this woman. You got to love her.
Then, so that was like the very most recent thing, like that just happened. But then recently, let me pull up the quote. I copy pasted how they described it. There was photos. You can look up the photos. But when she was at Sundance back in January, she was seen wearing many controversial or, you know, exciting outfits, what have you. And here's a quote. She was first seen wearing a white cable knit bikini layered over a black cat suit with a white faux fur coat. Fox finished the look with a pair of Sorrels Caribou snow boots.
Okay.
A KNWLS handbag and Gentle Monster sunglasses. I don't really know that handbag brand. I'm not like that fancy. I don't know what that is. But if you look at the outfit, it's bananas looking. I mean, it's really nice. And then the next day, she wore an all-denim ensemble that she shared was a, quote, ode to Utah.
Sure.
So she wore an oversized denim jacket with exaggerated shoulder pads. The boxy jacket was styled with a pair of jeans that doubled as a pair of shoes.
No.
The medium-wash denim pants were sewn into the red pointed toe heel. It's amazing. I mean, she really goes for it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so her ensembles really are quite a treat. And also just defy odds. Like, I see some of that stuff, and I'm like, how is it not falling down or off or over or what have you? You
defies know
what
I mean? Like, gravity. This woman defies gravity. Let's be real.
Knuckles could be flying out of there. I mean, maybe she uses really good sticky tape stuff. I don't know.
She's got ways. You know,
ways.
Lisa, a guy that I went to high school with shaved his eyebrows off because he thought it would look scary and then immediately regretted it because it did look really scary. I think when you go playing with your eyebrows, shit gets crazy.
Okay, so I don't think she'll listen to this, but or that she even knows about this. But I have a friend. Okay, same thing. Like I hadn't seen her in like a year, but when I did see her, I hadn't seen her in months before that. And she had shaved them off. They were gone. It wasn't even bleached like Julia's. Like they were missing, and I thought it was a bit.
You look like a Nazi. When you do it, you look like a Nazi. And I'm not suggesting Nazis did this. I don't know why it looks like a Nazi. Because do we know? Did Nazis? Why do I have that in my head?
I have no idea why.
I don't think that was a Nazi.
Held onto their eyebrows.
That wasn't a Nazi styling. I did have a question the other day, though, after watching The Amazing Zone of Interest. Like, is a Nazi haircut scary because it's a scary looking haircut? Or is it scary because we associate it with Nazis?
Both.
I mean, maybe both.
These are important. Yeah, they are severe haircuts, but they are also associated with fascism.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
No one could ever have a Hitler mustache. Like, that's not a thing you can do.
Well, he got anymore. That from Charlie Chaplin. Sad. Let me see the picture.
She really did not need to bleach her eyebrows.
Anyway, I did not mean to derail this conversation.
I'm seeing a New York Fashion
Week.
I'm derailed at all.
I'm scared. See?
She looks like a wraith, and I don't know if she's going for wraith, but if she is, it's not her best.
This is the Sidewalk Fashion Report, and we have concluded: do not shave your eyebrows or bleach them.
She is like,
and maybe don't wear a bikini over a cat suit. But like,
yeah. Well, I'm trying to find that.
Like, she's still kind of falling. I don't know.
I know it works.
I'm still kind of into it. It works. Even bleached eyebrows. I think she's kind of a fox.
She goes so far that she pulls it off. I know. So she was fun to kind of having known of her as a pop culture figure for so long now, have kind of see how it came to be and see her in this first role that, you know, blew her up so quickly. So it was kind of a complete, Julia Fox story. And now we have no eyebrows, or bleached eyebrows rather in this case.
Which appear like no eyebrows. They appear as if no.
I haven't seen her in fully a year, so I'm so curious about him, and I don't know how to ask. I think I just have to run into her, you know what I mean? I should check in on her.
Just send her a text out of nowhere that says, did your eyebrows grow back?
Brows or no.
So what's the verdict here? What are your thoughts on Uncut Gems?
Okay, Uncut Gems. So, I mean, okay, I saw this description that said, in a nutshell, it's existential, intense, and tense. So for something to be described as both intense and tense, I'm like, yeah, what is even the difference at that point? Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, right off the bat, there is a freaking bone sticking out. I mean, right off the bat, which I was like, oh, goddamn it, there's a bone sticking out. And I was immediately like, okay, son, you're going to have to give me some heads up when I should and shouldn't look, you know? And then the very next scene, I could tell we were in a colon immediately. Immediately. I was like, I know what they're doing. They're kind of like, fuck with everybody. I know exactly what they're doing with this thing. This is not going to be some like nose hole or mouth hole, which either way, that would still be gross, but I definitely knew it was going to come out of a butt. So I immediately stopped watching and told Tony, you're going to have to let me know when to look. And he was like, yeah, it's a slow zoom out of the on the colon for sure.
Really hope that there are people listening who've never seen this film. Because, by the way, let me just give you a little hint. We're not even 2 minutes into this fucker yet.
No, not even 2 minutes. So, like, yeah. So, first of all, you're all of a sudden in an opal mine in Africa, and there's bones sticking out, and there's, like, an opal, and it's chaos. And then there's the colon zoom out, and oh, my gosh. I mean, I was really not sure I could make it through it because, yeah, every situation seemed to be crazy and crazier than the last. And the whole movie does that, you know, it builds and there's chaos and there's less colon camera footage. Thank goodness. Like that does kind of like wind down a little, but the, just the intensity, you know, here's the thing though. It's kind of like Julia Fox fashion. It's like she goes for it and therefore it works because she goes so hard and she commits. And I think that's why it's like these things, while extremely kind of stressful to watch, I don't know, you're on the edge of your seat so much that you are like on a ride at this point, and you start to kind of have these little, I don't know, mini wins and mini losses, and then they kind of, I don't know, it just keeps you going, and I really enjoyed it. Like, I was stressed, but I really enjoyed it. Like, it was a good kind of, it's like going on a roller coaster.
Yeah,
I think some people don't like that, but I love a coaster. I love that sort of, I'm freaking out, but there's control. Like, I know it's going to end safely. I'm not just like, you know, jumping off a cliff kind of thing. And I think this movie, I felt like, well, I don't know how it's going to end, but it will end. It's finite. I'm just here for the ride, you know?
Yeah, and I've actually described this as a roller coaster that you just keep going up and up and up and up and up. Uh-huh. And 98% of the film, you're just going up the roller coaster and then you drop.
Right. And you keep thinking things are going to happen. And like I said, there's little wins and little losses. Some things happen, but there's always the tension. Like, there's always more gambling debts and more things to resolve that haven't been resolved and more quagmires being gotten into, and you can't ever feel like, okay, we can breathe for a minute, we can settle, because you're right, it's totally, and Tony said that it was kind of like Curb if it was, you know, an action drama.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little like hanging out with my friend Nancy Tran.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's like if Nancy Tran and Aaron Penhas had a child, it would be Adam Sandler in this.
Oh man. But yeah, so, you know, it's increasingly bad decisions, chaos, stuff like that. So much sports gambling that I did not understand at all, but I was just going with it. Like, okay, yeah, put your bets on that and they're going to shoot that and like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That part. Sure. And, I mean, I have some advice. If your friend wants you to bid in an auction to get the price to go up, just like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Just tell him you are not
bad
able
news.
To do it.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, it's a good idea.
Say no to.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, just don't do it. And then also, one other thing that maybe is good news, if you your business or your home has a, like an automatic vestibule airlock kind of door situation, just get it regularly serviced.
really good idea.
Those doors are so fucking stressful.
No, the doors really, really, it's like they're a whole character in and to themselves.
Yep.
So, yeah, and then, you know, okay, so Tony, I asked him if he wanted to be, you know, phone a friend within a phone a friend and give some more thoughts on this, but he declined. But, see, he was trying to say that he thinks this is Adam Sandler doing the same character that he always kind of does, and it's only marginally different than, like, Billy Madison or something. And if it wasn't for the dramatic score and the camera work, we wouldn't really know the difference. But I disagree. He does not do a baby voice at all, and I don't know. I think he's like more like, I don't know. It's almost like you're not the word serious because it's not that kind of acting, but it's like, he's still sort of a goofball, but it's a different, I don't know. It's a different setting for me. It feels like,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I have to disagree with Tony.
I see what he means.
He doesn't have range.
He should have won an Oscar for this. I think.
Yes. That's what everyone was saying.
At the very least, he should have been nominated.
Yes.
Yeah. And I read that they actually, that, you know, he had signed the thing with Netflix where all his live action had to be with Netflix, but the Safdies, like, said, can we please release this theatrically so that Adam Sandler has a chance at the Oscar? And they allowed that, and then it didn't even happen. So, so in a way, it's sort of like, yeah, he kind of deserved it for this. It was so intense, it was wild, and it didn't feel to me the same way as your, you know, Happy Gilmore's, et cetera. I mean, they have their place, but this feels like, I don't know.
It's a different performance.
I see the point. It like Punch Drunk Love is a subversion of his usual thing, but you're right in that he doesn't like pursue it to the, you know, comic extremes as he does in something like Billy Madison.
Right.
So like he's cast within type, but it's not, it's not full broad insanity, at least from him. It is insane.
It's insane, but in a different
way.
Tony says that he credits the Safdies as good filmmakers since they can make him this good in this movie, which I think, sure, you can give them a lot of credit, you know? But
they definitely
get credit.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of credit.
I did read he's wearing a fake mole, in case you were wondering. So, I mean, that's good acting right there.
Yeah. He's basically Charlize Theron in Monster. You know, I love the weird scene too where he goes home and like she's playing Rain, that Madonna song, Rain, on the stereo. And the weird steak scene. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you don't have to have in this movie, but I'm really glad we do have.
Everything with the guy at the casino that Julia Fox kind of runs into.
Dude, amazing.
Wayne from The Blade?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, Wayne is fantastic.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he was great. That was a whole good. That was also stressful, the whole thing. You know what? I did a little fact checking because I was like, Blade, what even is this? So, in case anyone else doesn't know and doesn't a big, you know, big city sophisticate type, but Blade is kind of like an Uber for helicopters. So, you just call a Blade and it lands on a building and then you go fly somewhere else, in this case, a casino in Jersey or whatever. But it apparently was founded in 2014 and the movie was set in 2012. Unless he was in some kind of pilot program.
They should have to give all the money back.
Yeah, give it all back.
Uncut Gems officially canceled.
Then again, maybe he had a secret end, because let's remember that my friend Alex called an Uber before Uber was a thing. And my friend Candace still talks about it to this day. Because she worked for a major company that I'm not going to name. and they had like a pilot version of Uber.
Yeah, it rhymes with Schmala Burton. Am I right?
She wishes. And so she was able to like pull. And so it was like the first time that I'd ever seen like, oh, you can see the car on the app and it's coming toward you. And it was really impressive. So, yeah.
Yes,
to this impressive. Day, Candace is like, Alex is so cool. She called that Uber that time. And I'm like, yes, she did. She did call an Uber that time.
We'll see. Maybe that's how Howard was with the Blade.
Exactly. Let's give him that grace. Let's give him that grace.
He just knew. Yes, you're right. Well, and then a couple other little notes. I did read that this movie had the seventh highest number of F-bombs in a single film.
Yeah.
But then I later, shortly after, read that it actually had the fourth highest number of F-bombs.
I think that there's a documentary just called Fuck that holds the record, but then there are some that hold that documentary should be stricken from competition here because it doesn't count.
Well, this actually says that the doc comes in second to a film called SwearNet the Movie.
See, that also doesn't count because that is not real and does not exist.
That's so stupid. So dumb.
And then The Wolf on Wall Street is third. And
of course.
Then this one, which is on an average of 4.15 times per minute. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I think I think we beat that record during our 5-minute fight. But yeah.
We came close.
Let's see. Kevin Garnett. I had just heard the name. I wasn't really familiar. But I have a thing. So I watched like a YouTube like little review thing afterwards. And the YouTube guy was like, oh, why would you use a game everyone watched and knows the outcome of? Like, that's not very suspenseful. Okay, dude, no. We do not all know the outcome of a basketball game from, like, 12 years ago.
I had no idea. I've never watched a full basketball game in my life. I had no idea.
Me either. So,
nerds.
Being a sports nerd, I know. And whatever. I was like, that was riveting to me. The only sports I watch is Alabama football. So, I don't know anything about basketball.
You know what bothers me about basketball? I don't like the sound of the shoes. The shoes on the court.
I don't mind the squeaking. It kind of, I don't know, it's sort of nostalgic to being in a gym as a kid, but also that's like kind of traumatic because if you were like a dorky kid in PE, that wasn't really fun. But there's something about the squeaking that takes me back. My other note was, my last note, the henchman number two. He looked exactly like our yard guy, who is like legitimately an ex-con hard case type. And Tony and I both separately came to this conclusion. Like, I thought it, and then he thought it, and we both said it, and he said it, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I wonder if I should tell him or if anybody has told him. I mean, it would be uncanny. I'll text you a photo if I had one of him. But I mean, and he, yeah. So
surveil him next time and get us a photo.
I will. As soon as which our grass is already growing, so as soon as he comes by, I'm gonna let you know. He's definitely henchman number two lookalike.
Maybe it was him.
Wow,
you never know. Plucked from the streets of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
But yeah, and then my last note, actually, I do have a black opal. So like,
you do?
But, okay, I do. But exciting. We got it in an antique store, so it's like if you buy a diamond secondhand, it's not a blood diamond anymore. Like it's been recycled, reused. So
is it still a blood diamond? It's still a blood diamond. It just didn't come upon it in the manner in which it was bloody, right?
I guess. And perhaps one could argue that keeping it for sale in a resale market continues its value, meaning that you are,
it's like a no waste
blood,
vegetarian. But. It's like no waste no waste, Lord. No waste blood diamond.
Oh, there just happens to be a diamond. I guess, I mean, it's already out of the ground. What am I going to do about it?
It's true.
Lisa, you're no waste. You're no waste opal.
I'm a no waste black opal. Yeah. So every time I do, I look at it. I'm going to think about this movie a little bit. Uncut Gems.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I knew you would. I can't believe it's taking you this time long to get to it, but yeah, I'm glad you finally came across it.
Super good.
And
movie.
I finally get the Furby stuff. And I was like, I mean, I guess Furby's is a jewelry thing, but anyway, I finally got to see it, and it was beautiful and gorgeous, beautifully bedazzled Furby.
Any one of us would wear that Furby.
100%.
Absolutely.
It's a gorgeous little Furby.
And one more plug, the score. The score was great.
Score is great.
Yeah, it is.
Score is amazing. Score is great.
Fantastic.
Wouldn't be the same film without it. And again, another nod to that Madonna Rain song, because it fits in there perfectly. Anyway, okay, well, it's thank you. Thank you for bringing us Uncut Gems. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Sounds good.
Bye. Bye.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Side Talks podcast.
We're your own personal cinematic Tiffany Haddish and fans again.
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
Probably not.
Let me quote TMZ.
Okay.
Because you know how funny they like to be.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
This is the headline. Tiffany Haddish hit some turbulence on social media.
Oh, no.
Turbulence, get it? Guess what she was doing?
She was
on an airplane, yeah.
She was flying on a plane.
She took, and I'll start with this. Uh-huh. She took to Insta to let her fans know she was headed to Israel.
Cool.
So already,
not a controversial moment in history to do that.
And then apparently launched into a series of lighthearted jokes, including heading to meet my future man. Anyway,
In Israel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just think in general people were like, maybe.
Yeah. This
don't.
There's a lot going on.
So,
a lot of people have really strong opinions about that situation, Tiffany.
Yeah. And then she made a joke about her former DUI and how she was only drinking orange juice on the plane. It wasn't laced with vodka. Anyway,
right.
I think maybe, I don't know that you need to take to Insta at all to let people know that you're going to Israel. Maybe just do that. Just go do that and maybe don't. I don't know. People thought she was making light of the situation, that it was a little tone deaf.
Well, people do also like to scold others on Instagram.
They really do. They really do. And so, in this case, are you fans or are you Tiffany Haddish? What are you going to do?
I mean, I'd like to take a nice international trip. I'll be there Tiffany Haddish.
I'll be the critical fans.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Like,
let me wag my finger. You shouldn't be doing, like, okay.
No more lighthearted jokes.
No, stop. You button up there, Tiffany Haddish. You, no jokes. Don't, and, oh, you're joking about your DUI? Tasteless.
Okay. Your future man in Israel. Okay, anyway, thank you for listening to the Side Talks podcast. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we sure do. Thank you to Boutwell Studios, and thank you to Brad for putting this darn thing together.
You're welcome.
I'll always love me some Brad. I don't know where that's going, so I just threw that in there.
Brad Appreciation Day.
Yeah, it's Brad Appreciation Day. Podcast at sidewalkfest.com. And this is where I tell you to go to sidewalkfest.com to buy tickets for films we are showing at the cinema, including you this weekend. You're going to want to come see Love Lies Bleeding with us, and you are definitely going to want to get a ticket to an additional film. Make it a K-Stew weekend while you're there and see some Twilight movies.
All K-Stew, all weekend long, Twilight Fest.
Twilight Fest, Love Lies Bleeding, you know, I'll be there seeing Love Lies Bleeding. I don't know about the others. I've seen the Twilight movies.
Have you actually seen all of them?
I saw all of them in theaters and have seen them all multiple times, because when the second one came out, I went to see a double feature. When the third one came out, I just went to see all three of them in a row. And then when the fourth one came out, that theater in Tuscaloosa showed all four of them bad boys, and I did it. And
Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Then I just saw that one by itself.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm good.
Sidewalkfest.com for tickets.
That's right.
Because you are good. You're not good at all. You need to come see all these Twilights.
Well, that's certainly something you could do. But we want you to. Sidewalkfest.com, and follow us on social media while you're at it, at Sidewalk Film. We'll see you at the cinema.
See you there.
Boutwell Studios Podcast Division. Your words, our expertise.